Okay, so today I will make a review of the XMM-Newton monitoring of X-ray activity of Sagittarius A stars. But I will not only spoke about Sagittarius A star, but also to X-ray transient we find a field of view center on Sagittarius A stars. So the first part is dedicated to Sagittarius A star. As you know, it's a supermassive black hole determined nicely with orbital stellar orbits and by Andrea Ghez and also by the Schroeder et al. In 2003. Also, the bolometric luminosity of this object is very low compared to the Eddington luminosity expected for such mass of a massive black hole. And then some radiatively inefficient accretion model have been developed to explain this. In 2001, Baganov et al. Published the first determination during the quiescent phase of Sagittarius A stars, not integrated too much things, but really Sagittarius A star. So it's the first, I can say, the first determination of the true quiescent phase of luminosity of quiescent phase of Sagittarius A star of about 2 to 10 to the 33. And again, it's much lower than expected for an active galactic nuclei. And then the first detection of flares from Sagittarius A star offer a new understanding perspective to understand what's occur at the at this our old galactic nuclei. And then this is the nice plot done by Fred Baganov for the flare occur in October 2000, the first one detected so far by Chandra. And then you can see during the quiescent phase and here this very nice peak here, which is the flare we reported previously by Fred Baganov. And as said by Fred Baganov, this is the flare lasting 3 hours with a peak of a quiescent luminosity ratio of about 45, so rather high. And the photon index was rather hard. And then XMM-Newton also detects such a thing. The first XMM-Newton detection of Sagittarius A flare was done by Goldblum et al. In September 2001. But unfortunately, the flare occurred at the end of the PN observation. It's mean 900 seconds. So unfortunately, they can't have they were not able to determine the peak, the real peak of the flare. So this peak over the quiescent phase is at least 20 or 30, and as well, the photon index was rather odd. And then with XMM-Newton, we discover the brightest flare observed so far from Sagittarius A star. Here it's XMM-Newton in February 2002 observation. And you can see it's a long observation for XMM of about 50 kiloseconds. And you can see that's really in the quiescent phase. And this is the observation in October 2002 for only 70 kiloseconds. And you find that there is a brightening at the position of the Sagittarius A star. And then here are the light curve. This is integrated within a radius of 10 arcseconds. So it means that it will, for the quiescent level here, is not the quiescent level of Sagittarius A star only. So that's why the amplitude that seems to be high, but it's because for the quiescent level here, only 10% of this is from Sagittarius A star in quiescent. Just to, because we have not the phase of a Chandra, so we integrate much more emission around. And then we find a very beautiful eruption flares from Sagittarius A star. Here are reported the light curve, the counts, and the times in seconds. And this is the quiescent phase of the integrated region. And here, the very bright flare found is the duration was less than 1 hour, and the luminosity amplification was about 160 compared to the peak to the real quiescent level of Sagittarius A star, which is about a factor of 3 times higher than the first one found by Fred Baganov. The luminosity at the peak was about 3 × 10⁵, so equivalent to the bolometric luminosity of the object, so it's very strong flares. Also, I reported here the light curve in 2 bands, what we can say the soft band from 2 to 5 and the hard band 5 to 10 keV. And we can see that there is a similar shape on this similar shape compared soft to hard. I also not mentioned that this light curve is almost symmetrical compared to the peak, but there is some a feature here which is really significant, and this can is in 2000 seconds, which means that it's the emitting region is about 7 Schwarzschild radius. And this similar light curves now, which are similar in the soft and hard band, are confined by a hardness ratio here. It means that above 0 you have something hard, and below 0 you have something soft. So the first information, we can say that the mean level here is minus 0.1. It means that the spectra of the flare, during the flare, it's during this, the same scale. And you can say that it's rather soft. And also there is no spectral variation. You have no hardening or no softening during the increase and the decrease of the flare. So now this is an X-ray spectra of Sagittarius A flare. So you have the TUMOS here and the PN data above. And the photon spectralness was very soft compared to the one found by Fred Vaganov. And it's about 2.5. It's similar to the photon index found during the caisson phase by Chandra with Fred Vaganov. And then this is much softer than previous X-ray flare from Chandra and Nixonman, and also as presented by Fred just previously. And the luminosity of this flare, the soft spectrum, the duration, very brief, very strong constraints for the modeling of the physical process. Now I will report you a new result about the XMM-Newton campaign 2004. And our galactic center was observed during 4 revolutions, 2 in spring here, and 2 in summer 2004. And the total duration was about 500 kiloseconds, and the PI was under a Goldblum at CEA at Saclay. And this was combined with multi-wavelength observation, and Farhad will talk about this, and also Andreas Eckert also will talk about multi-wavelength observation. And that's found by Bélanger et al. It's found that there is 2 X-ray flares with peak luminosity of a factor of 35 compared to the quiescent luminosity, one in March, at the end of March, and one at the end of... So now this is the light curve. The total light curve, the first revolution in spring and the second revolution in spring, and the same for summer 2004. Here you can say that's chaotic, but there's no prominent flares. And here you can see the brightest flare is reported here. In fact, this is a zoom with a smaller beaming. It's 500 seconds and 2,200 seconds. And then you can see that this bright flare here, and also a weaker one here, and another one which is more, you can say, chaotic than the other one, which peaks very sharply and so on. And then you can see that it's really not the same shape at all. And then you have also this picture, this truth here, several truth, and I will show you that it's X-ray eclipse from X-ray transient found at the south of Sagittarius SR, as nicely shown previously by Mike Nino yesterday. And here are the XMM spectra of the 2 brightest Sagittarius A flare from the 2000 campaign, the one in March, at the end of March, and the other one at the end of August. The duration was about 2.5 and 2.500 seconds and 5 kiloseconds. But for the shape of this flare, it's difficult to say when it began, really. So the deviation is very large from the mean, so it means that it's detected, there is no problem at all. And the NH was similar to the one found from the intergalactic medium found along the line of sight. And the photon index was about 1.6, and it's already, we can say, hard. And the luminosity was about 10 to the 44 air per second. Here are the 2 spectra of this March and here in August, the MOS here and the PN here. You can say that the properties are really similar between the 2 flares. And also the properties of these 2 flares are similar to the one found by Vaganov et al. In 2001 and Goldblum et al. In 2003. So observation of really brighter flares, such as found by XMM-Newton in 2002, are required to determine if there are two kinds of flares, bright hard, can say, and very bright soft flares. And then the second part is dedicated to X-ray binary, Indeed, as already mentioned yesterday by Mike Minow, you have the previous X-ray satellite have observed a lot of bright point source in the galactic center region with luminosity of 10 to the 35 arc per second. This source was persistent or transient, as the majority of the source was low mass X-ray binary, contains either a neutron star or a black hole. And thanks to Chandra and XMM Newton, we can observe weaker source with luminosity from 10 to the 33, even if Chandra can go lower with very deep observation, to 10 to the 35 arc per second with luminosity corresponding between the casing state of the binaries and the very hot outburst observed by ASCA and the old generation of X-ray satellites. So you can report to the Macino talks and also to the recent article from Sakano et al. Showing this kind of new type of X-ray transients. But I will develop here two X-ray transients we find. Here, the first one was the first detection in October 2002. It's the same data where we find the strongest pair from Sagittarius A-star. So you can see that this is a very bright source compared. The luminosity is similar to the Sagittarius A-star during the flares. So this source is located at 6.3 arc minute from Sagittarius A-star at the scale of the galactic center. It corresponds about 15 parsec. And this object was not detected previously, even with deep X-ray observation of Chandra and XMM Newton 4 months before this observation and 8 months after. And the luminosity during the outburst determined by XMM Newton, and also we can say no power limit of the Kaysen phase determined by Chandra, the very deep observation done by Chandra, you can say that this ratio is about 1300 and quite large. And this object was detected again during the March 2004 campaign of XMM Newton, and it detected again in September 2004. So it means that these X-ray binaries reach two outbursts within 2 years. And the X-ray properties strongly suggest a binary system with either a black hole and a neutron star according to the luminosity in outbursts. I think the most nicely result we find recently is the detection, in fact, of eclipse from this object detected by Chandra at only 0.1 parsec from Chandra on the south. Indeed, in this, during the XMM campaign 2004, we find a brightening of the 10 arc second radius region around Sagittarius A-star of about a factor of 2. And the centroid of this brightening was located at 2.9 arc second south away from Sagittarius A-star. And this is really coincident with the source found by Mike Minow with Chandra in July 2004 with the luminosity, maximum luminosity defined is 5.10 to the 34. And then, according to this high luminosity, relatively bright luminosity compared to Wiredry, so this is an X-ray binary with a black hole or neutron star as compact object. Also, they propose the presence of dips, as shown already by Mike Minow, with a period of 7.9 hours. And in summer 2004, during the campaign with XMM, we find short and sharp flow was observed in the light curve of this object. And we can define this as X-ray eclipse with a period of about 28 kiloseconds. It means about 7.76 hours. So now I will show you the light curves of in contrast, not so good. So this has been done also with Nicola Grosso. We have done a very good job on this work. And this you can see on the light curve, strong through here, 5 during the summer period, the first revolution, and during the summer, the other revolution in summer 2004. We report here with the ephemeris we find, the position of which the eclipse are predicted, and there are some of them, but it's not so well determined. So we done the folding light curves here, and we can see at the period here there's a nice eclipse here with a duration of 11 100 seconds, the eclipse fraction compared to the whole orbit is about 4.9%, and the depth here compared to the mean level is about 79%. And we find for here, even it's less determined, the same duration, the same eclipse fraction, but the depth was lower. Interestingly, when we search this for the spring 2004 Laika, we see nothing at the position of the predicted eclipse here, and even with the photo Laika, we see nothing. So we find an upper limit for the depth of the eclipses of about 19%. So there is so in March 2004 the eclipse was not here, and in summer with Chandra and XMM Newton, the eclipse was detected. So here, thanks to the properties of the eclipse, the duration, the periodicity, and so on, we can determine the constraints and nature of the system, the binary system. Here I reported here the radius of the secondary stars compared to its mass. Here for two different mass of the compact object, you can see that it's not so different from different very high mass. Here it's from 1.4 quantum point star, 3 and so on, up to 30 mass solar masses. You can see there is no strong dispersion. And here are the zams here, and then we can put a constraint here about the maximum mass that can have the secondary mass, the secondary stars is about 1.05 solar masses. So as also done by Magnino, this is really a low mass X-ray binary. Also the eclipse fraction here, for different eclipse fraction, oh, it's very bad, the contrast. So it's 15 and until very short eclipse fraction here. So here in shadow, you have the fraction we find during this observation, and then compared to the inclination angle and the ratio of the compact object over the secondary stars, we find that the central object, the compact object, is lower than 60 solar masses. So it can be a neutron star or a black hole, but not an intermediate massive black hole. So here we also put constraints, can say that about the neutron star and the inclination according to the neutron star, and we can say that if it's a black hole, it's lower than 75 degrees. And then I will show this very quickly. This is the XMMPN spectra of the four evolution in spring and summer. We find something very consistent with the photon index and the luminosity here, but we find a higher colon index along the line side, which seems to be associated with the object during summer observation where the eclipses are seen. 34, yes. Yes, you're right, because it's an AGN. Yeah. Okay, thank you. So it's 34. So so there is some constraint from this missing object. So we propose, this is one proposition that maybe we found some other, is that we propose that it's due to a vertical motion of the X-ray emission above the accretion disk. And to have grazing eclipse here, we find for each type of compact object that for neutron star, only a vertical motion of 0.1 radius of the secondary star is needed. Much higher for the black hole, but it's really realistic for the moment. And this is compatible with lower NH observed during the spring 2004, when most eclipses are seen, because during the vertical motion, there's no, you can say, less material along the line of sight from the object. So we propose that it could be due to an outflow from accretion disk as a jet. And this is compatible with the what found by Bauer et al. In 2005 with VLA at 7 millimeter in March 2004. They discovered these two transient source symmetrically to this object. So this can be produced by a jet. And then the conclusion that I will stop here.
questions? Sarah?
Indices. So the spectral indices that you find in your flares seem to be statistically softer in all cases than what's seen by Fred and the Chandra group. And I know that Jonathan Tan had co-authored this paper discussing the effect of the analysis, the X-ray analysis on this, and the absorption assumed. And I was just wondering if you could comment, or somebody could comment on which index we should believe and what the effect is.
Yes, no, it's really soft, because I try for different absorption along the line of sight, because we find something very odd, because I use different abundances. But I come back with this data with the new SAS version of XMM Newton. I do all the things as, very recently to really comment you, because I know that on your one of your papers that you have maybe some doubts about this. So we have done already this, and we have still a photon index, a soft photon index, the same with the same luminosity. So there's no way to find something else. But except you can find something else.
The thing we were doing was just looking at the dust scattering, and you can get a halo which may contribute a significant fraction of the flux, perhaps only of the order of 30%.
That is taken into account.
Yeah, so now they're taking it into account.
No more questions? Oh, Ramesh.
Okay, very good question. According to the ZAMS, we find that for the ZAMS, we find a very low masses, and this can be corresponded, according to the ZAMS distribution, to a K0 star. And older, it can be older than a K0 star. So the magnitude in the K band is about 20.7. magnitude. So if we find the companion, we have directly here an estimation of the mass of the object. So, but it seems to be a black hole. A lot of things seems to be that it's a black hole. The quiescent luminosity of this is about 2 to 10 to the 31 during the quiescent phase, and seems to correspond to a black hole, and then also the outburst in radio. So you're right. This is the second step, I think, to determine now. And if this is a black hole, it will be, I think so, the first detection of black hole seen through eclipse and during edge on. So it will be a direct estimation.
Too faint. Lars, sir. One more question?
Maybe Martin, if you want to answer.
The question was how many K stars would be within your resolution?
Not
with the resolution of Chandra.
The Chandra resolution, yeah. One arc second or so. Is that with extinction or without extinction? With including extinction, okay. Okay, well, let's think death theme one more time.